everything as the devotees want it. So even when there's no opulence there, there is opulence. And even when there is opulence, the devotees are unattached as inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Some of the special opulences and powers approached Gopikumar and said, "We are here, you can have us." Gopikumar refused. He said, "No, thank you. I will remain a cowherd boy." So he did that. But now he felt more convinced than he had felt before that now I have made it. I must have made it. This must be that place I'm looking for. Because he was experiencing that the place, the happiness in the place, the mercy he was getting in the place, and this form of the Lord in this place, they were better than any he'd experienced before. Meaning, directly experienced, but not quite the same as Madan Gopal. So he, somehow or other, Gopikumar got the service of fanning the Lord. He got the service of fanning the Lord. So he would fan the Lord while calling out, "Gopal, Krishna," and singing songs of Vrindavan. But after every session, his well-meaning friends would call him aside, and in the words, in the mood of an instructor, tell him, "Don't sing those songs. They're not appropriate here." They said, "This Gopal form is just a pastime form of the Lord. And in fact, it is presented by the illusory potency. And so his pastimes are illusory. And we are attached to the reality. So don't be so, attracted or attached to these Gopal pastimes. They're just for beginners." Then another group of devotees came and said that that's not true. All the Lord's pastimes are real. Then another group of devotees came and said that all the Lord's pastimes are equal, actually. So his Gopal pastimes are very nice. And Gopikumar felt a little more satisfied. But what was Gopikumar doing? He was chanting his mantra all the time. So as he would chant his mantra, he started feeling separation. Well, he would go into a state of meditation and see Madan Gopal and cowherd people and cows, and then come out and be in Vaikuntha and feel this is not the same. He started feeling separation so much that he started to see Lord Narayan as Gopal and his wives as Radharani and Chandravali. But then suddenly he'd come out of it and realize, no, it's not true. And it's not the same. It's not as good. So, therefore, he ends up in his sort of, the state at least that he has at least in principle ended up in on other occasions, sometimes satisfied, sometimes not satisfied. And then one day, he met Narada Muni. We'll explain about that tomorrow. Any comments or questions? But Brihad Bhagavatamrita says that when he came back from Mahakalapur, He was in Vrindavan, he went to Mathura, and he got educated in Srimad Bhagavatam, and he learnt things. You know, it appears he didn't learn everything. He learnt about the process. He learnt a lot of things. It's true that in Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, these things are mentioned about Krishna's superiority to Lord Narayan. But the thing is that, you know, only those really who have been... Not everyone who studies Srimad Bhagavatam understands it in that way. So it would appear from this that he doesn't quite understand it completely in that way yet. You know, like the followers of Madhvacharya, they don't accept in the same way that we do. Charu Chandra Prabhu is saying that it's reassuring to see how Gopikumar didn't get converted, you know, into one of these other processes. You know, he got sort of influenced. He became influenced, but he didn't become converted to another process. Yes, because he, you know, he's so fixed. He has this faith in his spiritual master, and he has this faith or this experience through the chanting which has convinced him that I must keep chanting. So despite, you know, all the very interesting and important things he sees and hears and how influential the various people he meets are, still he doesn't become completely won over. He keeps on with his chanting. Even Lord Narayan couldn't convince him. That's true. Because this is his eternal nature, actually. There's something very powerful, his eternal nature. And he tries. He preaches to himself. You know, I mean, we're not mentioning everything here. We couldn't mention everything. We'd need a lot of time. But he preaches to himself that this is the same. Come on, mind. Accept it. But his mind won't accept it. Ryan says he was his spiritual master. Anyway, Lord Narayan knows a little bit more about these things than he has said so far. Yeah. There's a little bit more. The Madan Gopal Mantra. We don't know. Doesn't say, because you're not allowed to write it even, what to speak of, speak it, unless you're given the special initiation. And then, you know, you're not allowed to tell anyone. So I don't think you were here at that time, but in one of the earlier classes, or no, maybe you were there. You know, you must have been there. It was pointed out that when people are writing something to describe this mantra or writing about the mantra, they never state the mantra fully. Either they just put part of it or they put it sort of around the wrong ways or something like that so you won't be able to figure it out, or just some indirect reference to it, because they're specifically not presenting it. Unless it's to someone who is, you know, an initiate, someone who is in the group, who is allowed to chant it. Yeah. Sanatana Goswami does not say what his source is exactly, but we can understand that there's some sort of revelation to him of this actual, the original conversation. Original, but I mean the conversation between Janmajaya and Jaimini. It is not presented as being a fictional story. Yeah, it's not presented as being a fictional story. So, you know, taking things as they are means we would basically then accept it as it is.
Hare.
An associate of Lord Chaitanya, so. And he's an eternal associate of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, resident of Goloka Vrindavan. It's no problem for him to have some revelation, realization like that. No problem at all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, yesterday we left Gopakumar in Vaikuntha. He had met Lord Narayan, and first of all, of course, he had traveled there in a very amazing way, and then arrived there, had some very extraordinary experiences waiting out at the front gates, seeing all sorts of devotees and persons, and thinking that they were actually the Supreme Lord. Then he came in one gate after another and finally came to the ultimate palace, and in there he saw Lord Narayan, and he got a very wonderful reception from Lord Narayan, very compassionate and very benevolent. So then Gopakumar was feeling extremely happy. He'd never experienced anything like this at all. And he thought, maybe this is it. Maybe I've reached the ultimate abode and the ultimate form of the Lord, that form of the Lord I'm looking for. But then he would chant his mantra and see Madan Gopal while in meditation. And Madan Gopal's pastimes and associates and abode. So then he would feel that no, Vaikuntha is not the place. So he was in his sort of customary state of confusion. Am I in the right place or not? When he met Narada Muni. So Narada Muni preaches to Gopakumar, gives him all sorts of interesting information, and we've written the main headings there on the board. So we'll go through step by step as Gopakumar preaches, Nandakumar preaches Narada Muni. Hare Krishna. Narada Muni preaches to Gopakumar. Yes. First of all, he tries the direct approach. Just don't worry about it. Pat him on the back and tell him it's all right. No, there's not really a problem. Just be happy, that's all. Just smile and be happy. And just think that this Lord Narayan and your Lord Madan Gopal are the same. And just tell yourself that, you know, you might as well. And just tell yourself that this Vaikuntha realm and the Vrindavan forest realm of Madan Gopal, that they're the same. Because they are, in a certain sense, they're one. This is the first thing. So, Narada Muni, he approached Gopakumar, touched him on his head with his veena, and asked him, and told him actually, that I've been in Vaikuntha a long time, I've never seen anyone like you, meaning depressed, confused, unhappy. I've never seen anyone like you. I've only seen people like you in the material world. So what's wrong? So, as soon as Gopakumar looked at him, he became convinced, I can put my faith in this person as much as in my own guru. So Gopakumar just told everything to Narada Muni. How he was feeling and what he'd experienced previously and how he was meditating, chanting his mantra, seeing Madan Gopal and having his visions of Vrindavan, and but then coming back to consciousness here in Vaikuntha, and it was just not the same, and he was very perplexed. So Narada Muni feels exactly the same way as Gopakumar, actually, but he doesn't want to tell Gopakumar because it may depress Gopakumar more. So overwhelmed with mercy and compassion, he tries to convince him. Well, actually, the way he tries to convince him is, he says, you know, this form of the Lord that you are seeing, and this abode that you're seeing in your meditation, they're real. They're real. But they're very high. They're much higher than this abode. And that Lord is the highest Lord. And to approach that abode from here and from this platform of devotional service, the Vaikuntha mood, it's very difficult. It's extremely difficult. You have to follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And how are you going to do that here in Vaikuntha? So, why don't you just try to be happy here? It's just going to be too complicated and just too much to try to go to that abode. And after all, in one sense, Madan Gopal Narayan, Vrindavan and Vaikuntha, in one sense they're the same. So just try to train your mind to see like that. And then you should be happy. That should be good enough. Narada Muni tries this approach. Actually, the fact is, although it only comes out at the end, that Narada Muni knows that that will not be good enough. Narada Muni already knows all about Gopakumar, actually, because Lord Narayan has told him, and Lord Narayan has sent him. But anyway, he's just beginning here. So then, in order to try to convince Gopakumar that it is all right here, and you don't need to worry about going somewhere else, just try to adjust to it. Make the best use of a bad bargain or something not quite that bad, but just try and see how you can overcome the problems and live with it. So then he explains about the amazing forms of the devotees in Vaikuntha. Yes, he explains that this world and the people and the animals and the trees and everything, they're all Satchitananda. They're not just material entities or material things. They're all eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And they're all eternal associates of the Lord who have assumed these forms just to please the Lord, because they want to serve him in that way. So then he explains some very interesting things about the backgrounds of the devotees of Vaikuntha. He says that when you see, he says that there are two types of devotees in Vaikuntha. One type, you see them in different species in Vaikuntha. The reason is because they worship a particular form of Narayan who is in that form. So if you see them in a form of an animal, that means that their Ishtadeva, their personal deity, that particular form of Narayan that they're attached to is an animal form. Sometimes you'll see them in the form of trees. That means that the particular form of Lord Narayan, who they worship, is in the form of a tree. So therefore you can understand they all have sarupya mukti. But it may not be in the way that you expected. In other words, that they all have four arms. And that human-like form, four-armed form, sort of classic form of Lord Narayan. So therefore you see devotees here with all types of forms. Human forms, some have forms like sages. That means they're attached to forms of the Lord like Kapila. Some of them have forms like demigods. Some of them have forms like hogs. So who are they attached to? Varaha. Yes. Some have forms like half man, half lion. Some have forms like dwarves. Some have forms with three eyes, four arms. Some have forms with thousands of arms. So who is their particular deity? The Mahapurusha. And he says an interesting thing, although there's no actual explanation of how it is, but he says that when you see the forms, those devotees who look like the Mahapurusha, then you should understand it is not Sarupya Mukti, it is Sayujya Mukti. Some Vaikuntha version of Sayujya Mukti, of merging with the Mahapurusha. More than that I cannot say, other than that it says it in the book. And some of them who appear as demigods, it means they worshipped some of the, or one of the, certain of the Manvantara avatars. Because they are more like demigods. Like Satyasena, Vishvaksena. They're Manvantara avatars. But they are kind of more like demigods, or they look more like, and they tend to act more like demigods. So like this, there are many types of Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha. Many, many, many. This is just a little sort of hint, really. Then he says that whatever form of the Lord they worshipped immediately before coming to Vaikuntha, then they're worshipping that form here. Then he says that some of them are different. Some of them have strange forms, and there are no expansions of the Lord with those forms, so that's a second category. Some of them are like monkeys. Some of them are like demons. So what that means, but they're in Vaikuntha. And they're great devotees. They just happen to have these amazing forms. So what does that mean? It means there's a category who, they worship the Lord in their last birth in the material world. They worship some Narayan form or other. And then they become perfect. And then they go to Vaikuntha in the same type, or at least the same looking type of body as what they had in their last life. So therefore, some of them, they were demons, but they became devotees, although they still had their demon bodies. So when they go to Vaikuntha, they have demon bodies, or looking, or monkey bodies, or some strange bodies like that. And therefore some of them have forms of demigods like Indra and Chandra. It means in their last lives they were Indra or Chandra. And in Vaikuntha they perform similar service, but in Vaikuntha. And it's pure. Similar, as demigods, that means. Vaikuntha demigods. And they all see the Lord in forms which are suitable for them. And even though they are all, at least those who have returned from material life, there's also those who are permanently there, those who have returned from material life, they're all worshipping the Lord in the same form that they worshipped him in. He's in the same form, the form they worshipped him in their last lives in the material world. But now they're in Vaikuntha. It's just constantly newer and newer, and more wonderful and amazing, even though it's the same form of the Lord. And he says, therefore, there are many areas in Vaikuntha where these particular forms of the Lord have their own little, not little actually, but their own places, where they are there with their own group. Many of them, so many. And then there's another category of devotee. We're talking about the amazing devotees and their amazing forms in Vaikuntha. There's another category. They are not attached to any particular form. They love all of the forms. It doesn't make any difference to them. And they may just focus on the, you could say, standard Narayan form. Or they may focus on three or four or five or seven forms. Or they may even do deity worship. There is deity worship in Vaikuntha. And in fact, as you see here, we're written on the board, Narada Muni is going to talk about deity worship in due course of time. So, this category of devotees who, they don't have any particular favorite form, they're very kind of flexible, or they just worship Narayan, that'll be fine for them, or deity form, they're also there. Then he talks about the amazing forms. There are so many amazing devotees with amazing forms and different attitudes. So that must mean there must be some very amazing forms of the Lord. So he says, yes, Narada Muni explains, there are many forms of the Lord. And he mentions like Vamana, Varaha, Kurma, Nrisinga, Matsya, Hansa, and a number of forms he mentions, although there are so many more. And he says, many of these forms have many forms. Yes. He talks of two types or two forms of Matsya. One appeared to save the Vedas at the end of the cycle of the Yugas, and the other came to give his mercy to Satyavrata. Satyavrata is there in the Bhagavatam, huh? He came to save the Vedas at the end of the cycle of the four Yugas. There are at least two Kurmas. One who held up Mandara Mountain in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other, second one is always holding up the earth planet. And there may well be others, but these at least are well known. Then, there are at least five forms of Varaha. One appeared from Brahma's nostril at the beginning of creation and saved the earth and disappeared. Another saved the earth from a flood during a partial devastation, killed Hiranyaksha, and went to